Have you ever struggled to recognize someone's voice? I heard a story recently about a mom of a teenage daughter, and her daughter was out at the mall with some friends, and she was at home when the mom received a phone call from a number that she didn't recognize. And she usually would just ignore it, but she decided to answer the phone. When she answered the phone, she heard her very distraught daughter's voice on the end of the line. She was crying. She was extremely distressed. And she told her mom every parent's worst nightmare. I've just been kidnapped. So the mom is listening to her daughter crying and explaining that she was kidnapped. And then suddenly the phone is wrenched away from her daughter and she hears a man's voice giving her instructions to withdraw $20,000 from the bank. And if she calls the police, they're going to do terrible things to her daughter and kill her. So the mom is on the phone. They put her daughter back on. Her daughter's still crying and pleading with her to be quick, make it quick. Please, mommy, go get the money. And as she heads out the door, just at that moment, one of her daughter's friends stops by the house. And the friend tells the mom, I just saw your daughter with some friends at the mall. So the friend calls some mutual friends that they have that she saw with the girl at the mall. And then at this moment, the mother on her phone is hearing her very distressed daughter crying and pleading for help. And on the friend's phone, she hears her same daughter's voice saying to her, I'm fine, Mom. Nothing's wrong. I'm at the mall with my friends. At this point, the mother realizes that internet scammers had used AI to replicate her daughter's voice and had called her and were trying to scam her and swindle her out of $20,000. Distinguishing between a true voice and a false voice can be very challenging. This isn't just true with AI scammers on the internet. It is true in the Christian life as well. And the stakes are even higher than $20,000. Recognizing the voice of the Lord is challenging. And the stakes are the whole course and direction of your life. If you make a major life decision because you have mistakenly heard the voice of God, you might set yourself up for years of pain. Or if you fail to listen for the voice of God and are instead led by the conflicting voices of others, you could lead a life that is frantic and meaningless. So the stakes are very high when we're listening for the voice of the Lord. How do you recognize the voice of the Lord? How do you hear from God? This is one of the most frequent questions that I get as a pastor. Recognizing the voice of the Lord is not a new problem. Both our readings from 1 Samuel and John chapter 1 address this problem head on. And this morning, I want to take a look at what these two passages teach us about recognizing God's voice by using our heart, our heads, and a little bit of help. So let's begin looking at our passage from 1 Samuel 3. The young boy Samuel is sleeping in the temple when he hears someone calling his name. He wakes up and runs to his master Eli, who is not excited to be woken up in the middle of the night. And so Eli says to him, I didn't call you. Please go back to bed. Going to get an amen from some parents. This happens three times. And after three times, Eli finally realizes something is up. This is not just a bad dream. And so he tells the sleeping boy that if he gets called again, that it is the Lord. But the context is so important here for understanding what this story is really all about. Look at verse 1. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. Why was the word of the Lord rare in the time of Eli? Well, the answer is one chapter earlier in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Eli's sons have been doing some pretty bad stuff. We heard about that from the Lord in our reading. But 1 Samuel 2:12 says, Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. they did not know the Lord. They had been stealing food from the altar of the Lord. They were sexually abusing the women who served in the temple. And so, right before our passage this morning, God sends a prophet to Eli to tell him that judgment is coming upon his two sons. Tragically, Eli does not listen to the word of the Lord. He does not discipline his sons or remove them from serving in the temple of the Lord. And so we read at the start of chapter 3, our reading today, "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision." It's not that God had stopped speaking. It is that God stopped speaking to and through Eli because he would not give his whole heart to God. His heart was divided. Eli had competing loyalties. He was a completely compromised leader. He refused to discipline his sons because of his loyalty to them, not valuing his loyalty to the Lord. He didn't do his duty. And so God gives a message for Eli to the young boy Samuel, who clearly has a heart that is open to the Lord and not closed off like Eli. So first, that's the first thing, heart. To hear and recognize the voice of the Lord, we need an open heart. Eli, when he heard the word, received the word of the Lord. He accepted it. But he didn't get to hear it because his heart was closed off. Samuel actually got to hear the Lord speaking to him. He was brought into this intimate conversation with God, where God revealed what he was going to do. Nathanael, in our gospel reading, also had a heart that was open to the Lord. John 1:47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." And when our translation there says there was no deceit, it doesn't mean that Nathanael never told a lie. What it means, and Rod Whitaker helpfully points this out in his commentary, he's a New Testament scholar, he points this out, that the Greek word used here, dolos, suggests a more fundamental internal disposition in which there is no deceit. It means something closer to a single-hearted desire for God. That's how he translates it. Nathanael had a heart that desired God. You know, God can send a burning bush to get our attention when we least expect him. He can do that. The Lord can do that. But usually, you only get a burning bush if you're going to be asked to do something as hard as what Moses had to do. Right? So if you get a burning bush, you've been forewarned, okay? Maybe don't ask for a burning bush. But normally, we hear God's voice when our internal disposition is open to the Lord, when our heart is soft and ready to receive. How do you have a soft and ready heart? Well, you can just say four simple words. "I want you, Lord." Or maybe you're not even there yet. You can just say, "I want you, Lord." For some, it's easy to open their hearts to God. For others, it takes work. There's wounds there. Wherever you are at, God can still speak to you today. If he could speak to Samuel when he was fast asleep, he can speak to you when your heart is open to him. He doesn't always speak, but we are much more likely to hear if he has our heart. Second, even though it begins with our heart, we have to use our head. Discerning the voice of the Lord requires that we use our God-given brains. When we think we have heard from the Lord or someone else claims to have heard from the Lord, it is okay to question and test it. In fact, that is the norm in the Bible. Abraham questions God when God tells him that he's going to have millions of descendants. Moses questions the word of the Lord when he's commanded to deliver the Hebrew people out of Egypt. The Virgin Mary questions the angel. Gideon, Ananias, Peter, the list goes on and on throughout the Bible. And not once does God rebuke any of them for having a healthy skepticism. God loves our questions. All questions are welcome because all truth is God's truth. So when we are trying to discern the voice of the Lord, it's okay to have a healthy skepticism. Notice I said a healthy skepticism, not an unhealthy skepticism. Because Nathanael, at first, has an unhealthy skepticism. Nathanael is initially dismissive because of his bias against people from Nazareth. He says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now imagine if Nathanael had let his bias, his prejudice, his dismissiveness get in the way of listening to his friend. He would have never met Jesus. He would have never gotten to be face to face with God in the flesh if he just listened to his prejudices and his biases. He would have literally missed the greatest opportunity of his life. And the same can be true for us. Our biases, our prejudices can prevent us from meeting with the Lord. We need to be discerning, but not dismissive. I know that's a tough balance, but we are living through a tough time to discern the truth. It is okay to test words of the Lord. We aren't supposed to put the Lord to the test, but we should test what people are saying on his behalf. We are surrounded by a flood of false voices, like the false voices of those internet scammers on the phone. We are surrounded by this flood of false voices in the world and even in the church. It takes a discerning mind to know which to listen to and which to ignore. So how do we have a healthy skepticism? Well, there's three tests that we can apply. First, does it align with Scripture? God is not a God of confusion. That's 1 Corinthians 14:33. If it contradicts the clear teaching of Scripture, then it is not a message from God. This is why I'm a big believer in people reading Bibles, right? Reading the Bible. Because if we don't know Scripture, we're not going to be able to assess what we think we're hearing from the Lord. And so if you're doing the Bible in 1 year with me, with Nikki Gumbel, I really encourage that. Because we have to know Scripture if we're going to be able to discern what's of God, what's from God, and what's not. So first, Scripture. Does it align with Scripture? Second, does it glorify God? In John 7:18, Jesus says, "The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood." If someone is pointing to themselves, they are not a prophet. Prophets always point away from themselves and to God. Third, does it actually happen? Does it actually occur what the prophet said? 1 Samuel 3:19 and 20, this was in our reading. "The Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord." Their test was, does what Samuel says actually happen? Does it come to pass? You know, in every generation, there are self-appointed prophets who make bold predictions and amass large followings. Millions of Christians follow them today. There was a big gathering of these prophets just before the pandemic, and they all got together and got a bunch of prophetic words. Not a single one of them predicted the pandemic. And all of them predicted that Trump would get reelected. Every single one of them. Now, let me be clear. I believe that God speaks today. I'm not dismissing that at all. But what I am saying is that one of the measures of a word from God is whether it happens or not. If it doesn't happen, it may have just been wishful thinking. It may have been our own desires rather than the Lord's. Then we have the additional challenge of falsehood outside the church. Conspiracy theories proliferate and become amplified on the internet. Brothers and sisters, you do not get a pass from using your brain just because someone is saying what you want to hear, okay? Conspiracy theories have no place in the church. We have to use our heads. God has given us our minds to separate out fact from fiction. So don't lose your heads. Last, help. We've had heart, head, now help. We need help to hear from God. Notice that Samuel doesn't recognize the voice of the Lord on his own. Even as broken of a leader as Eli is, Eli has to help Samuel realize that it's the Lord speaking. We read this in 1 Samuel 3:8. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" Eli had to help him figure it out that it was the Lord. Nathanael needed Philip's help to recognize the voice of the Lord. We need help to hear and recognize the voice of the Lord. We need help to hear his voice. Usually, the voice of the Lord is discerned in and through Christian community. If you think you have heard something from the Lord, take it to the Christian community to be tested and discerned. Megan and I did that when we were discerning our call to come here to servants in Gainesville. We still have to use our individual minds to be discerning. You don't get a pass on that part. You can't just always defer to the community. You have to do your own individual discernment. But it helps to include the discernment of others. You know, if I'm honest, the false voices out in the world, all these other things that are hard, they aren't really the biggest barrier to hearing from God. The biggest barrier to hearing from God is me. Despite my desire to hear from Jesus, there's also a fear of Jesus getting too close, too personal. I wonder if that's true for you as well. Sometimes I don't want to hear what God has to say to me. Thank you very much. When I was a freshman in college, I was in a really unhealthy relationship. And one day, my spiritual mentor that I was meeting with weekly said to me, "Have you asked God about your relationship?" And I said, "Of course not. I don't want to know what he has to say. I'm enjoying my dysfunction, thank you very much." You know, and that's true still to this day. Just a couple weeks ago, I was thinking about something that I had not prayed about intentionally because I didn't want to hear what God had to say to me about it. And I think also some of us, we have real reason to be afraid of personal words from the Lord. You know, maybe you've been the victim of parking lot prophecy from an overly enthusiastic brother or sister in Christ. Or maybe you thought you heard something from God and it never panned out. You may have good reason to be suspicious of a direct and personal word from the Lord for you. And yet, God is personal. He is close. He does not want to be kept at arm's length. He never overlooks you. You are never invisible to him. He always sees you. The Lord saw Samuel lying asleep in the temple. He saw Nathanael under the fig tree before Philip called him. And the Lord sees you. He sees all your thoughts, all your faults and failings. But he also sees his beloved creation, the wonderful work of his hands, the desire of his heart, and he calls you to himself. The most terrifying and wonderful reality is that God always sees you. If you want to hear from God, I want to encourage you, just use Samuel's words. I think I learned them in a different version because I always learned them as "speak, for your servant is listening." Our translation has "hears," but I love that, and I've been saying it for years. "Speak, for your servant is listening." I find that prayer so simple and so very helpful to make me aware that I am in the presence of God. I do it in the morning, usually when I pull in here in the parking lot. I sit in the parking lot before I come into my office, and I just sit for 5 minutes, and I just say, "Speak. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." For those who are doing the Bible in 1 year with Nikki Gumbel, I do that too before I listen to the word of Scripture because I want to hear from God through the Scriptures. So I just say, "Speak, for your servant is listening." So take a moment to listen, to open your heart and mind to him. Try it one morning this week. Just take 5 to 10 minutes. I encourage you, experiment with it and say, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And if you do this, I can't promise that you will hear something direct and personal from the Lord. I hope each of us does get a personal and direct word from the Lord. But I can't promise that. But here's what I can promise you. If you want to begin hearing from God, hearing his voice and recognizing his voice speaking into your life, start by opening your heart, using your head, and don't be afraid to ask for help. Amen.